な。
Interesting is that we're starting in 1 Thessalonians this morning, and the backdrop of 1 Thessalonians involves people telling the Thessalonian church they had missed the boat. The Lord Jesus had come back again and they missed it, and they were under the judgment and wrath of God. Amen. So that was totally, but not by design, that we finished with that song this morning. They can now sing, "What a day that will be." Those that are dead in Christ, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, I can go backwards, start with 5 and go back to verse chapter 1. But in chapter 4, details this mystery, this rapture of the church, that those that are dead in Christ will rise first, and we that are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Yeah, there's the backdrop. Let's go home. Amen. But this the Thessalonian letters, when we get the hymn book closed and the Bible open here, the backdrop of that, of the letters, is persecution. If you follow Paul's missionary journeys, he started off going to what's modern day Turkey, and then coming back and going back out and revisit those churches of Asia once again. And you find that early time, they were under the churches were under persecution by the Judaizers. That's what you find documented most in the book of Galatians. Those that wanted to bring the people back under the law, saying that it's not enough to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, but you must get circumcised. You must follow these ordinances of the law, which is a false gospel. It's not another gospel, because they said Jesus did die, was buried, and rose again, but you need to do these things. Well, as Paul went further, next stop would be into Thessalonica. In Thessalonica, we see the I want to say, intrusion of persecution from the Gentiles. You know, saying they are going against the false gods that we have. Of course, they didn't regard them as false. Then we find Athens. We find Paul on Mars Hill reasoning with the people that were religious, plus the philosophers there. And then following along later into Ephesus, he would face a unruly mob that would throw him out and cast him off, saying, "Great is Diana, our goddess." So we see that, how that's happened. Now in Thessalonica, you know, they were facing persecution from Jews and Greeks, and technically Greeks here, Jews and Gentiles. Their beliefs were being stepped on by the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. This is some would say that 1 Thessalonians was the first writing, and some would say Galatians. You know, they're about a year apart, if anything. And I'm one that holds that no matter where they are, Galatians was first, because that's where Paul went to. The order they were written, you know, shows them he wrote it from Athens later on, and sent the letter to them on their well-being, because he had heard of their faith, even Athens. Imagine that. Check out this church in Thessalonica. They're going through a lot, but yet they're faithful. And we find out why they're faithful, and why we can be faithful as well, is because God is faithful. So the theme of the letter, I think I had talked a little bit more about the city of Thessalonica back when we were in Acts chapter 17, going through the book of Acts. But the theme of the letters to the Thessalonians, we just sang the song, is perfect peace and rest. You know, it's amazing how even us too can rest in spite of trials from whatever source they come from, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be our bodies that don't like to cooperate with our minds anymore. No matter what it is, we can have perfect peace. And that song, "Like a River Glorious," is taken from Isaiah 26. You know, we see that. If you can look at the context of it, it's dealing with the nation of Israel, but it is a timeless principle that you indeed not only can have perfect peace, but you have perfect peace in Jesus Christ. Why? Because you and I are new creatures in Christ. Amen. Let's start off this morning by reading Acts 17, verses 1 through 10. And this gives the backdrop of it. Acts 17. I think I read from 11 on last week, dealing with the Bereans, that who were in the next city, who didn't just cast Paul away, they actually listened. And some believed, some Jews and Gentiles believed the gospel, the simple truth of the gospel. Acts 17:1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took them unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went in the synagogue of the Jews." And may the Lord add His blessing to His word this morning. So we see this here, this household of Jason. Jason was evidently a believer. He was a Gentile from the city of Thessalonica. And imagine this taking place then. You have a group of Gentiles meeting in one place, and you had the synagogue with the Jews. And it's kind of like the Crips and the Bloods. You have these two people together. They don't like each other whatsoever. But yet God used them. He paid their fine, or let's change that to the bribe. Jason paid a bribe to the civil authorities, and he was let go. And then we go on to Berea. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and read now. We're just going to be looking at verses 1 through 5 or 6, because 6 is a continuation of 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. My eyes cleared up. I can see my menu on my phone, on my tablet now. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I love that verse right there. But we go back to verse number one. We see the people that are involved. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. Of course, we know Paul. Silvanus, he was Barnabas' replacement for the second missionary journey after Barnabas and Paul had their, as they say in Britain, they had their row. They had their argument over John Mark, and Barnabas left, and when they were back in Antioch, Silvanus, or Silas we can call him, joined up with Paul and went and traveled back through the churches of Asia with Paul. They traveled together, visited the places that he had visited the first time around, and they got to a place called Lycia. I may have gotten the city wrong. But Lycia, where they met this young man named Timothy, or Timotheus. Timothy, who had his mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. He was raised up more, as we can see in 1 Timothy, by his grandmother and his mother, who showed him the scriptures. And now I wouldn't recommend anybody do this at home or anything, but it's amazing how you see Timothy answering to the call to join Paul. Some of us, we go to fancy things and we see recruiters and whatnot, and they give you a favorable picture of what to expect. Anybody ever see a vacation thing? I like it. Come to New York. I love New York. There's pictures of the mountains. They never show you the Upper East Side or anything. They show you all the mountains and everything like that. What's the first thing that Timothy recommends? What's the first thing that Timothy sees of Paul? And he says, I think I'll join this guy. I think Timothy, we think in fleshly terms, Timothy was nuts. He sees Paul stoned and dead, literally left for dead. And he goes on and moves on, and there Timothy joins him. Think of that as your recruitment film right there. Here's what you're going to expect, Timothy, if you stick around with me. You can expect persecution, expect suffering, expect all these different things. That's what happened with him. And of course, they get to Thessalonica, they have the whole uprising with Jason, and they have to whisk them out of the city. They move them to Berea, and then move them down to Corinth by ship after that. They smuggle them out of the northern part of modern Greece, or Macedonia, as it was known then. So Timothy joined along upon the beating, the stoning of Paul. I think he knew the scriptures quite well from his mother and grandmother. I think he knew that suffering was what came to believers, suffering would even come to the Jewish remnant, you know, that would believe forever. They would suffer under the scribes and Pharisees and the like. So it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in. That's my favorite word. One of my favorite words. I should correct that. In. The church of the Thessalonians are in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's no better place to be than to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no safer place than to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're in Christ, you're sealed by the Spirit unto the day of redemption. What's that day of redemption for us? I don't know what'll come first. If it's the rapture of the church, we're sealed. If we have to go through any trials and tribulation, and we will, not necessarily, it's not going to be the great tribulation or the wrath of God, we'll go through trials. Physical problems, mental problems, emotional problems, literal persecution by others. Yet, we are in Christ Jesus. That's where the Thessalonians were. And look at the next part. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that opening in all of the letters. We see the same thing. Yet it's not redundant for us to remember. These aren't rote prayers that we remember. These are true positional statements. Where does grace come from? It comes from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. True peace comes from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things are based, or these two things, are based upon the attributes of God Himself, not ours. Man, if we could only express what truly is God's will for us, we could sing that song that was just sung, what a day, glorious day that will be. Unfortunately, we look at the things around us. The things around us will not lift you up. A rotting tree will not give you emotions. Receiving dead flowers on Valentine's Day is not a good thing. But all these things of the world that we look at will only discourage us. That's what happened to the Thessalonians. They were looking at their circumstances, and other people were saying basically this, na 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 na, you miss God, God left you here. But the reality was God hadn't left them. God had a better plan for them. Amen? God has not left us. Even when you feel down and out, God, it's not God that has left. It's usually we leave the love of God. Do we leave salvation? No. That's impossible to leave salvation. Why? I just said it. Sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, in the grip of God for eternity, and it's not based on our works. It's crazy how many times people will attribute works. Now that you believe, you need to follow the law. Impossible. You know, Jesus was the only one that could fulfill the law itself. He didn't become the law. He followed the law. He wasn't the law of Moses. He fulfilled all of the righteous requirements of the Mosaic covenant. And he became a man. Well, he became a man first. And then he lived righteously. He lived a life that we cannot live. Amen? Think of that. Turn your eyes upon yourself. Ugh. What's that? One of those emotions with a green face and the vomit. Turn thy eyes on myself. God's got a dream for you. You need to live God's dream. You are God's dream. Bunk. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Amen?
To the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always, I like this, for you all. The entire church of the Thessalonians. We don't know how many were in that church. We don't even know if it was a multi-campus facility. We just know that here was God using the Apostle Paul. He says, I pray for you all. This is such a great thing for us all to do as well. Pray for us all. Pray for you all. We all should pray for one another. Why? Because we're all children of God. If you believe the gospel, you're a children of God. That's not good English, but it works. You is a children of God. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Not a day goes by, maybe a day goes by here and there. I don't mention every person I know that I can think of in prayer. A person comes to mind, I pray, Lord, that, just pray that they would know the mercy and love of Jesus Christ. I pray for those people I don't particularly like. I love them. I still pray that they would come to knowledge of Christ. Come to know Jesus Christ and His fullness in all things. I love verse number 3. It's what Paul remembered. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. When the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So here was Jesus Christ. Here was Paul writing this, the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. How many people are there in that verse right there? Three. They have Paul as God the Father and God the Son is his witness. He remembers that without ceasing your work of faith. Now notice, it's a work of faith. Notice, it's a labor of love and a patience of hope. The effective believer doesn't do anything because he's told by somebody they must do it. The effective believer does what he does through faith. Amen? The labor of love. You ever seen a Christian that does things just because they're supposed to do it? It doesn't work very well. But if they love what they're doing, they love ministering, what, to themselves? That does minister to self, but it's to minister to others. Everything that's done is seen by God as a witness to what God has done. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 13 for a second. 1 Corinthians 13. Well, there's only 13 verses, so let's start with verse number 1 instead of 13. So, the love chapter. People most often, make pillows and tablecloths and little trinkets. It's used for weddings. But this isn't about any of those things. It's actually about what should be the motivating factor in the assembly. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, Paul's not saying that he does speak with angels. He says, even if I did speak with angels. You know, what was happening in Corinth, we'll go back to Corinth, you know, or ahead to Corinth, and chronologically, they had people that had all kinds of claims at the things that they could do, that they were greater, they were greater than anybody else around. It says, Paul, even though I could speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Do you ever get this reaction, you know, when you're talking to somebody? I don't want to hear it. That's what without love will do. In order to minister to somebody, say your family, say your brother-in-law that you don't like very much, or sister-in-law or mother-in-law or whatever, you don't get along. The only thing that they're going to see, first off, before they hear what the Bible has to say, you have to show that you love them and care for them. Imagine that if we condemn them right off the bat and then tell them, oh, by the way, Jesus loves you. Imagine this. Jesus loves me, this I know. No. We ought to be the happiest, most joyous people on the earth. Why? Because we just sang the song. We've been forgiven of all of our sins. We have perfect redemption. We're complete in Christ. Our sins have been paid for, or our trespasses, in whole, totally, kaput, gone, nada. But yet we tend to live as though we're trying to make up with God. God, I'm sorry, I'll never do that again. God says, yes, you will. He knows us, but I've covered that at the cross of Calvary. God knows our natures. So that's why our motivation is love. And though I have the gift of prophecy, oh, here's a side note, speaking of prophecy, I had this for a little bit more in time here this morning. I caught a popular prophecy teacher that was on my YouTube feed. It just came on, and he spent a whole 37 minutes talking about the Chinese balloons and how America needs to get right with God or else judgment's coming. I put the baloney detectors up for that and said, why don't you just open the Bible? You know, So the Chinese balloons are out there. We shot them down. Good. Remember, we are new creatures in Christ. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says? Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What do we need? What does a new baby? Did we get the baby back there? When the baby is born, that little baby needs the pure milk. It needs to be nourished. You can't go giving the baby a pork chop when he's 2 months old. I think I've tried it before, but it didn't work very well. Right? A new creature in Christ. You cannot give to them all this outside candy. It may be good. It might be the edifying of the flesh, but we need the edifying of the new man that's in us. And how does that new man, what kind of diet does he like? The new man likes the most gluten-free, dairy-free, leaven-free diet you can get. He thrives on the Word of God. That's what the new man needs. Unfortunately, the old man says this, don't read your Bible today. Don't study to show yourself approved. But that's what he desires. The old man desires to not love one another, to not show our love to others. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, I was somewhere, I forgot where I was, but there was a lady carrying around Jonathan Cahn's The Book of Mysteries. I did all I could do not to tear it out of her hand and throw it away, but I had to refrain. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You could be deemed the greatest Bible believer that ever lived, but without love, nothing. Because it was the love of God that constrains us. It also was the reason why Jesus Christ came and paid that penalty for sin. It was love. Imagine if God just said, I don't love some people. I'm just going to cast them right to the lake of fire because I can. I'm God. I don't think God does that, but He's given His gospel to all. And to all that believe have that forgiveness of sin. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. It's the love we display. I love you more than you love me. No, that's puffing oneself up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. I wonder why it says her own there. It's a question I have. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. That's why in Romans 12, we have this part that, you know, when somebody does something to you, be kind to them. Render not evil for evil. What does that do? It heaps burning coals of fire on their head. In other words, their conscience just doesn't get it. You know, instead of answering back and you say, God loves you. That does the trick. Because people want to argue. People want to fight. People want to persecute you. But we ought to show charity or love to all. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I'm glad we're past that transition stage. We don't have the in part anymore. We have a complete Word of God. Some people would say also that this is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we'll know fully. But I'll take the Word of God. It's complete. Needs nothing else. It stands on its own. We have no need for the prophecies or private prophecy, or we have no needs for languages. Except, of course, if you know somebody that's Spanish and you know they don't speak English, it would be good to have somebody that speaks Spanish with them, etc. For now we see through a glass. Oh, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I stopped saying, Mama, when I was 2 years old. We all grow and mature. We grow and mature as believers as well. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. See, that's what the more we know, the more we see Jesus Christ through the lens of Scripture, the more we realize that He has given His life for us. He's known us. This is Philippians chapter 2, I believe. You know, we look to Him, we grow in how much He knows us and loves us. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So the Thessalonians had this work of faith, a labor of love, and patience of hope. Yeah, back to 1 Thessalonians. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. 2 Corinthians 5, and we don't need to go there, even though it would be good. I went through a lot of it last week. Verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." We are. Truly, our old man is dead. Jesus Christ died. Those who believe are not only died, but are resurrected with Jesus Christ. Verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. "Knowing, brethren, beloved..." Remember, they're the beloved. Why? What makes them beloved? They've been accepted in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 2. They're beloved. They're part of... You know, they're in Christ as beloved. "Your election of God." Most translations say "by God." King James stands alone and says "of God" out of the majority text. And it's a translation issue. Because the same word, of, by, through, they're all the same word. So it's a translation of God. But I'm glad we have the next verse. You know, this deals with the faith. Your election of God. You have the faith in Jesus Christ through the gospel message. That stands alone. Knowing that you have faith. Knowing that you've trusted the Lord. How can I say that? Look at verse number 5 and 6. For our gospel came not unto you in word only." So the gospel came in word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I get a little lisp there, starting. Romans 10, verse 17. "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord." Something I always like to say, if you need to hear the word of the Lord verbally, record yourself reading the Bible. That's effective. So many people are out trying to hear the voice of God. But yet we have the voice of God. It's right in the Scriptures. Right here. Right now. Salvation comes through hearing the Word of God. Actually, the closing, I used to sign prescription forms. Not that I'm a doctor or anything. I tell people to read John 5:24. "He that believeth on me hath life." How are you going to believe unless somebody tells you about him? They believed him because they saw him. Most rejected him, but they saw him. The gospel comes through the word. Its effect, it's a natural effect that it has. A natural outgrowth of the word of God is the power to live and living. And also here in verse 5, it says, "in much assurance." Assurance can only come from the Word of God. Assurance cannot come through obeying the law as much as possible, because if you offend in one part of the law, you've offended in all. Assurance cannot come from the, I like to call it the "I'm not as bad as the next guy" mentality. That's something my mother used to try to pull on me. "You're not as bad." Like, Bible says I'm bad.
I'm wicked.
Our assurance doesn't come from what popular Bible teachers say. Our assurance comes from the Word. The assurance doesn't come from what a dead theologian may say. After all, they receive their doctrine, much of the doctrine, from another dead theologian who receives it from another dead theologian who receives it from another dead theologian. Well, you get my point. They've neglected the Word of God. Well, Origen said in the year 202. Well, then somebody followed him up and changed something that he said. So now by the time you get to the year 2022, instead of 2002, you have telephone line mentality where things have changed. Our source is the Bible. Our source is the Scriptures. That's why it's so important. I had that last week. Hermeneutics. It's important to understand the context. And it only serves for us to do so. It's our benefit, so we don't be led astray by all the winds and waves of doctrine. So we know, even when the Bible conflicts with what some teachers say, guess what holds court? The Bible. That's the basis that we have. Oh, I already talked about that. We give too much credence to current events. One person talking about the Chinese balloons. Imagine, I wonder what he would have done if he were back in 1939. Oh, here's the Antichrist. Hitler's the Antichrist. Keep an eye on Germany and their persecution of the Jews. It did happen. But was that the coming of the Lord? The coming of Antichrist? No. I think we'll be well out of here. I'd like that, out of here and well, as well. We'll be out of here before all these things take place. Yet the picture didn't look too rosy for the Thessalonians and the persecutions that were going on. The picture doesn't look too rosy for the world right now or for our country right now. But we need to take our eyes off of those things and put our eyes on what the Lord. Assurance comes from believing the gospel and growing in the grace of God, period. I should have written, I wrote down period and put an exclamation point. How come I didn't put exclamation point and period? That's it. 2 Corinthians, I'll visit 2 Corinthians 5 again for a second. Verses 16 and 17. Wherefore, this is our duty as believers. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Now, I don't know Gordon after the flesh. I did. But yet we know him as a believer that's been signed, sealed, and delivered. A believer who's seated in right and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we can go, each one of us can kind of do this exercise. We can look at everybody. I don't know so-and-so after the flesh. Amy and Gil are my children, but they're also brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know them after the flesh anymore. That's hard. They live under my roof. But yet we know each other as being Christians. Wherefore, we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And verse 17 is the why and the how we could do that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. What a great promise. Not only a great promise, but it's a great conditional statement of where we are right now. if you're a believer. You're a totally new person. Amen? Totally new creature in Christ. That's the goal of the church. That was the goal of the Thessalonican church, that they would grow together. They would ride out those storms of persecution together because their redemption was on high. It was coming. So they had the privilege to live like a believer. I'm going to close 2 Corinthians 1:24. Now, 2 Corinthians, you know, that's a great passage, a great chapter for when you're going through trials, when you're suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This one we just have to read out from verse 1. Because this will go right, this could go right, even though it was written a little after Thessalonians, after the Thessalonian letters. Verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Right there, that should set the stage for what's coming up next. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. No matter what the trouble is, we have solace and comfort in Christ. But the real secret is to not look at others in the flesh, but to look at others as a Christian. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual, and the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, salvation here in verse 5 isn't dealing with eternal salvation. That was dealt with in verse number 1. These people are already justified by Christ, but salvation, the very word itself, can mean salvation or rescued from the troubles that you are having, or preserved. So God will see you through these troubles you're having. Eternity's already been set in its place. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. That's what happened in Lycia. That's what happened all over the place where Paul would go, lining up to wait and stone him and hiding out to ambush him. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Look at this part. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. What are we in when he gets to 2 Corinthians 5? We're new creatures. He wrote to the Romans that reckon yourselves dead. I'm dead. There's nothing on earth that can be done to me now, because I'm dead now. But I am a new creature in Christ. Like the old, I've said it over and over again, the person that ran into a church with a gun threatening the pastor, the simple response is, you're threatening me with heaven? Stop that guy right in his path. There was some major burning coals were heaped upon that guy that day. Is it not? I told the kids before, if you ever come into a situation where somebody tries to rob you or anything, and you're not armed or anything like that, you just try to look crazier than they are. Right? Whoa, out of here. But when we are in Christ, that is our consolation we have. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, like that, even raised up in Lycia, and doth deliver. He not only raised us up, he's still going to deliver. In whom we trust, he will yet deliver us, no matter what. Know what Paul was looking to? The same place we need to be looking to. We're looking to heaven. We're looking to being with the Lord. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. See, because the Corinthian church didn't end up giving a donation, 2 Corinthians 8, they would show that their love that they would have towards the saints that were persecuted back in Jerusalem. For our rejoicing is this, verse 12, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. For we write none other things unto you than that what you read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. So there were some forged letters that were going, that were saying they were from Paul that he didn't send. Just these ones that have personally come from us are for you. As also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. In this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there shall be yea and nay, nay? In other words, is it all on me? Am I going to do this? For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God and in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. By faith ye stand. All that to get to that last point. Believers, it was the Apostle Paul saying to the Corinthian church, I had some things, corrections that I want to be made. Good thing I didn't go, because I would have been in the flesh. But we don't have dominion over your faith. In other words, he would not lord over the people and micromanage what everybody does, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. You know, all of us in part of that Christian love and charity, we're all in a way helpers of one another's joy. Amen? That's what it's all about. We have the ultimate joy in knowing Christ, or actually being known of Christ, being known by Christ. That blows my mind. He knew me and he still gave his life. He knows each and every person, yet he gave his life. The most wicked human being on earth today can hear the gospel and believe and become a new creature. Amen. That still blows my mind. Blows my mind that Paul himself obeyed the Lord. Blows my mind. What's the guy in the son of Sam killer?
David Berkowitz.
David Berkowitz has been a faithful believer for many years after slaughtering how many people? Nine women he killed. God rescued that man. Are we all like David Berkowitz? We're not exactly like him, but we all have the same sin. Let me correct myself. We all had the same sin. But ye are washed. Ye are new because of what Jesus Christ did. This will be the message that will continue to the Thessalonians. You know, that through their persecution, through the trials, believe the Lord. Don't believe everything you read and see everywhere else, but believe the Lord. Trust the Lord for all things. Number one, salvation is a free gift of God. Say, there's nothing free in this world. Mostly everything, it sounds too good to be true. But they're not the gospel. He freely gave his life on the cross of Calvary to pay for the sins of the world. And he offers a pardon and plea for sin. He offers a pardon to all that believe. I like that even in the wilderness. Remember the snakes. The camp of the Israelites was overcome by snakes. So God told them, put a snake, a brazen snake, on high. Then whoever looked to that snake would be healed. And Jesus said himself, just as Moses put that snake on a pole, the Son of Man will be lifted up and will draw all men unto Him. That draw is the gospel. What people do with it, it's up to them. I remember I used to fish a lot when I was a kid. I got frustrated because half the time I didn't catch one. I'd go and buy the best lure available. No bites today. But yet, I kept on going out every day. Same effect. Might get a nibble here and a nibble there. I wanted the biggest bass in that Dorothy Pond could offer. I never got it. You know who did get the record trophy? A guy I knew down the street that left his line out while he went in and cooked supper. That ticked me off back then. But yet, that line is still there. That lifeline is there. For anybody that grabs on to that lifeline is saved. But yet, so many people don't. How many people do we hear all the time defaming the name of Jesus? Even thinking if they can yell the name of Jesus, their toe will stop hurting. Or whatever. But we do have, in closing, we do have this wonderful gift of salvation. A complete salvation, as the song even says. Wonderful redemption through Him. And that makes our fellowship sweet. So we have the same mind, the mind of Christ. Only in the Scriptures. Amen. We'll continue in 1 Thessalonians, I don't know, and continue with that, with their joy they had through their suffering as well.
and the joy we can have no matter what we have going on. Amen.
Let's stand together.